Today's Easter Sunday. It's considered by a lot of people to be the most important Sunday of the year. I have a couple of denominational preachers that I have running discussions with, and I was kidding one of them about that, and he said, yeah, he said, I have to, in my sermon, welcome those who I won't see again until next Christmas. And I said, yeah, I can understand that. You know, we tend to sometimes put one Sunday over another. It celebrates the resurrection of Jesus on the third day. And it's a good thing. It's preceded by Lent. Lent is a 40-day fast and a time of penance. And the last week of it is called Holy Week. And there are special days that are assigned in that. Maundy Thursday is a celebration of the Last Supper and of Jesus washing the feet of his disciples in John 13, beginning with verse 1. And there are some of our friends in the denominational world who had a feet washing ceremony on Thursday night. And of course, Friday was Good Friday. It reminds us of the death of Jesus. And that's followed starting tomorrow by Eastertide, which is a 50-day period of time ending at Pentecost on what is called Pentecost Sunday. All of this was established by the Council of Nicaea in 325 A.D. And the council decreed, and correctly so, that if you were going to identify the time when Jesus rose from the dead, it would have to be the first Sunday after the full moon following the equinox. And you may remember we just went through the equinox not too long ago. That can vary anyway from March 22nd to June 25th on the Gregorian calendar, which is the calendar we use. On the Julian calendar, it's April 4th to May 8th. So there's a lot of tradition. There's a lot of things that our friends in the denominational world have been observing and are observing at this time of year. Some of them are kind of interesting. Where'd the Easter Bunny come from? Well, that's a German story. It's a German Lutheran story. They have a story about a rabbit who was a friend of Jesus. And the rabbit was a symbol of fertility, for reasons we pretty well know. And he established gifts, toys to children. And so in a lot of countries, the Easter Bunny is sort of like Santa Claus. It's an opportunity to give gifts to kids, especially. And one of the other things that goes on during that time is Easter eggs. And I was kind of interesting in the paper today. They have a thing about the Easter egg hunt that was at Potato Creek. And I guess one of the rangers on the web this morning was saying he had problems breaking up fist fights among the kids as they were going after eggs. So some of those things get a little carried out on things. But one of the interesting things is that eggs were not allowed to be eaten during the 40-day fast. And so in ancient times, they hard-boiled them. So you had all these hard-boiled eggs sitting around. And you got kids with paintbrushes, so pretty soon they started decorating them. And that's where the Easter egg thing came from. Isn't it interesting how some of those things develop? In the Eastern Orthodox Church, they dyed the eggs red, symbolic of the blood of Jesus. And that's kind of interesting because you see that sometimes as you look at the Easter egg hunts that are going on in the area. And then there were some of the funny and special things. Richard's going to be leaving us on Monday, and he's going to be going to an area where some of these things happen, where they're celebrated. And you can look on the back of your bulletin. I have a little story about how some of those things are put together. There are places like Pornikatsa, and I'm sure I mispronounced that, where the men beat the women with reeds to help keep their beauty for the next year. That's an Easter tradition. Actually, I saw a picture of it. It's not what you might think. It's sort of a wet reed, and the girl was laughing, but so it wasn't taken too seriously. And, of course, there's Dingus Day. And you may not know the history of that, but in Poland, women can pour cold water on any man they think is behaving badly, and that's where Dingus Day got its start. And it's kind of interesting. I have some of those articles with me if you want to read some of the stuff on the web on that. But it gives you a picture of how easy it is for cultures to embellish a particular day. And I raised the question today, why is Easter important to us? You know, I think sometimes in the Church of Christ, and I think it was Richard who said this the other day, sometimes if somebody else is doing it, we can't do it. And Richard said, you know, if we followed the logic of some of our brethren, we'd take the doors off our buildings because the denominations have doors on their buildings. And it's almost that silly sometimes. And I think it's important to understand that Easter is an important time. It has a historical base. It is based on the Passover. As a matter of fact, the only time the word Easter is used in the New Testament is Acts 12 and verse 4, and that's in the King James, Acts 12 and verse 4. And the word that is used there is P-A-S-C-H-A, Pascha, and it refers to the Passover. So Easter is not a biblical word in the sense that we hear it used in our culture today. The Passover, of course, celebrates Israel being freed from slavery in Egypt. If you were part of our classes on Moses, you remember all that went on there. What we may not realize is that God had commanded three festivals. Listen to Exodus 23, beginning with verse 14. This is God speaking. And God says, three times a year you are to celebrate a festival to me. Celebrate the feast of unleavened bread. For 7 days eat bread made without yeast. As I commanded you, do this at the appointed time in the month of Abib, for in that time you came out of Egypt. That's where a lot of our communion things come from. And I'll mention more about that in a minute. No one is to appear for me empty-handed. Celebrate the feast of harvest with the first fruits of the crops you sow in your field. Celebrate the feast of the ingathering at the end of the year, when you gather in your crops from the field. Three times a year, all men are to appear before the sovereign Lord. So God had commanded that period of time. And you will remember that there was blood on the doorpost in Egypt to keep the death angel from taking the firstborn during the time of the Exodus. And they left in such a hurry that they did not have time to let bread rise. And so unleavened bread, or matzo, was used. And that is called the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. It began on the 15th day of Nisan. And this year, that was on April the 14th. What's interesting about that is that we may or may not realize that Jesus is portrayed in the Bible as our Passover lamb. Listen to 1 Corinthians 5, beginning with verse 6. Your boasting is not good. Don't you know the little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. You see, in Christianity, unlike the Jews who had a lamb as part of the meal when they left Egypt, for Christians, the lamb is Jesus Christ, and the slavery we're leaving is the slavery of sin. In Luke 22, beginning with verse 7, Jesus celebrates the Passover. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And it's at that point that Jesus establishes the Lord's Supper. So our communion is rooted in the Passover. I'm not sure all of us understand that. That's why we have unleavened bread. That's why we have that on a regular basis. We essentially celebrate Easter every Sunday. Because every Sunday we not only think about the death and the burial of Jesus, but also of the resurrection. And the question is it somehow wrong to celebrate a special time of the resurrection? You know, we do it every Sunday. Is it incorrect? Is there something wrong with having one Passover celebration, one communion celebration, that can be considered to be special? I want you to listen to what Romans 14 has to say about that. Romans 14. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Why then do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. Do not allow what you consider to be considered good to be spoken of as evil. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Why do we not have a special Easter celebration? Well, I mentioned a few of the silly things to you. Dingus Day. Easter egg hunts. Rabbits. All the things that have gone on. And if you want to read some weird stuff, there's some on the back of your bulletin, mostly from Greece, but they're from all over that area. And so our brotherhood has generally said, you know, we don't want to make a problem for people. We don't want to set a day up and confuse people because of all the confusion that is in the world. So we have not had that kind of celebration here. But it's important to understand that this time of year is good. And we know that, in fact, it was at this time. Unlike Christmas, you know, we don't know about the date of Christmas, but at this time we do know that the resurrection took place. We just don't find any command in the Bible that we are to make one day special. But to set up a day and say, on this day we're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus, or we're going to set up this day and we're going to remember this theme, is certainly not condemned by the Word of God. And Romans 14 makes it clear. We are to be understanding. We are to work for unity. We're to work for peace and mutual edification. So Easter is special because it is based upon the Passover. It has a biblical precedent. It is also special because it recognizes the risen Christ. Do you understand that no other religious figure represents divinity? In John 1, beginning with verse 1 and going on through verse 14, there's a discussion about this. Let me read part of it. Jesus was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. The Logos, the spoken Word of God, became flesh and lived among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, the Bible repeatedly speaks of Jesus as having a role in the creation, as being divine. And perhaps sometimes we don't see the significance or understand the importance of that. Listen to Colossians 1, beginning with verse 15. Speaking about Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Listen to this. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you for Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you have heard and has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. Do you understand how unique that is? The principle that Jesus Christ is a part of the Creator, that he is a part of everything that we see and everything we enjoy, a part of our whole life, of our whole living. No other religious figure is like that. Muhammad never claimed to rise from the dead. And today, we know where Muhammad's tomb is. Muslims make pilgrimages to Muhammad's tomb. That's totally and radically different, inferior to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Buddha's birth and burial place is known. Baha'u'llah's burial place is known. The uniqueness of Jesus is so astounding. We know that Moses died. We don't know where he was buried because God buried him, but we know he died. We know that Elijah died. They all died. And that's true of every religious figure that has ever existed, but it is not true of Jesus Christ. Look at the difference. And Easter speaks to that concept, that Jesus overpowered death. Acts 2 and verse 24, but God raised him from the dead because it was impossible for death to hold, to keep its hold on him. Why? Because Jesus was God. The resurrection speaks of that. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 25, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. You know, it's kind of interesting that our video games, the stuff our kids watch, the movies that we see, death is constantly portrayed as being some kind of majestic power that controls everything. But Jesus destroyed death. It's completely and radically different than every other claim out there. And the resurrection speaks to that. 2 Timothy 1 verse 10, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Easter says we don't serve the kind of God that every other religious system on this planet serves. We have a God who is the creator. A God who is a God that even controls those spiritual things that we can only vaguely understand. And that is a God that controls death. And the other point I want to make to you about Easter is that Easter is special because it reminds us that we have hope. It reminds us that we have hope. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and show us your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. Now, here we go again with that fundamental concept. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ Jesus has not been raised. And if Christ is not raised, then your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. That's how fundamental Easter is. We are still in our sins if we don't understand and believe the resurrection. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. You understand that for the atheist, death is the ultimate tragedy? You know, one thing that's happening in our culture is that we become so obsessed as a people with the idea that this life is all we have that we will spend everything to stay alive. Everything. People will give up their life savings. They'll sacrifice the savings of their mates, of their children. You know, I've told Cindy, you know, if there's no hope of my recovery, then don't spend a bunch of money keeping me alive. Death is not that significant to a Christian. It's not the ultimate tragedy. And I saw this in my parents. I've seen that in my brother. You know, it's only when my brother Bill, who has Parkinson's and is getting near death, it was only when he got to the point where he realized that this life is not all he had, that he began to change his attitude. And he's different now. He not only has been baptized into Christ, but his demeanor, his communication. I had a little discussion with my other brother yesterday, and he has even seen it. What a change there's been in Bill. Yeah, there's been a change because he is no longer obsessed with the problems of death. This passage goes on and says, but Christ indeed has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Do you understand that every other religious system on this planet does not offer that? Eastern religions offer reincarnation. How much would it encourage you to live a good life if the best you got is to come back and try this again? No, I don't want to try this again. Once is enough. Once is enough. One aspect of old age is the realization that in this body, there is no future. And you want to listen to that? Talk to Audrey. Talk to Audrey. Man, this lady is 94, right? 94 years old. And you know, I've had this little discussion with her. If I could give you a magic pill and you could go back and be 21 again, would you do it? You ought to get her going with that. It's kind of interesting because, you see, most of us find out that one aspect of old age is that you realize, I don't have much future. You know, Larry's trying to keep hunting and catching bluegill. But the day will come when he can't even do that. And he's had some brushes with that recently. And you know, that's one thing about life, is that life lets you realize that you got to have a hope of something better. And you know, when you're Katie's age, that doesn't register. And I understand that. But the older you get, the more aches and pains you get, the more you watch. You know, you're sitting right here and watch Dave and Bill and me and others trying to get up, you know. And you say, you know, isn't that amazing? Well, that's what old age does to you. And it sends the message that Easter is special because we have the hope that what we're doing right now is the worst thing we're ever going to have to deal with. It only gets better if we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That Easter message is so fundamental to dealing with old age. The resurrection of Jesus Christ means there's something better awaiting us. Revelation 21, beginning with verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away. Now the dwelling of God is with men. He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eye. There will be no more death, nor mourning, nor crying, nor pain. For the old order of things has passed away. Easter is special because it reminds the world that there's something more than this life. And it's a good thing that in our world there is a time when so many people, even if they have embraced it in kooky ways, the whole world has recognized there's got to be something better than this. And you look at the stuff that's going on in the world right now, you look at that horrible thing where these kids went on this senior trip and the ferry tips over and they all die. You know, look at the horror of that. You look at the mountain slide that killed people, just wiped out the town. You look at the airliner that went down, they still can't find it. You know, there's horror all around us. And if this is the only life that you believe you have, and you realize that one of these days you're likely to be one of those people on one of those airplanes or in those ships or in that place that's covered with dirt, doesn't give you much hope, does it? But the Easter message is special. It says you have a special hope. And my question to you is, do you have hope? Do you have hope? Easter is a time of rebirth. You look out there, and yesterday as we were picking up trash, it's kind of fun to see the little flowers shooting up every now and then in different spots. See the grass turning green. Watched a baby rabbit take off. Saw the llamas down there. I've cleaned up 3 times down this road, never saw those llamas. You know, and it gets you a picture. We're coming up here today, I looked over in the field, and there's a bunch of little calves running around, little tiny guys out there in the field. It's a time of rebirth. Have you been born again? Are you a new man? Are you a new woman? Do you have that hope? God tells us that's our choice. We can wash away our sins as the people did in Acts 2 and verse 38. Or we can reject the resurrection and reject God. But when we do that, we give up all hope. And Easter is special. The songs we have sung today are special because, as Bill selected songs that are appropriate to the day of the world around us, it says to us, Jesus destroyed death. Jesus rose from the dead. We are not confined to this planet, to this aching body. We are not here forever. And Jesus says, this is Revelation 22, beginning with verse 12, "Behold, I am coming soon." Jesus is coming soon. "My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he or she has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who have washed their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who have practiced magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' Let him who hears say, 'Come.' Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life." The hope, the beauty, the wonderful thing that this time of year says to us, don't deny that hope. Don't reject what Jesus has offered to you. Accept God's promise. As together we stand and sing to encourage you, won't you accept that promise? Let's stand together.